Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Well, to the United States now, where political division over Donald Trump's sanctioning of Iranian strikes continues and anti-war protests have been taking place in a number of cities. Iran has vowed decisive reaction with a spokesperson for the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, Ibrahim Zulfikari, calling Donald Trump a gambler, saying, "You may start this war, but we will be the ones to finish it." Well, for more, I'm joined by Julia Manchester, who's political reporter and host at The Hill, based in Washington, D.C. Julia, thank you for being with us this morning. Donald Trump, we know he's under pressure over this decision. Is it increasing now, that pressure, politically and publicly, for authorising the strikes? They're being called out by some Democrats and indeed Republicans as unconstitutional.
Well, you know, actually, I would say it would be flipped. I think the majority of Democrats are saying that this is unconstitutional, that they want they would have liked President Trump to have gotten congressional authorization for these strikes. But the vast majority of Republicans are, you know, very much on President's side, with the exception of Congressman Thomas Massie, someone who normally breaks with President Trump on a number of issues. So, and you even have some Democrats actually who are, you know, have come out in favor of these strikes. Not a ton, but a few. So politically, I would say that, you know, maybe there's some pressure, but the vast majority of his own party, which is the majority of, you know, that holds the majority in the House and the Senate, are in favor of the strikes or have supported him for the strikes. Though in terms of the public, though, I would say that a majority of Americans, according to some polling, are against the strikes, or against, I shouldn't say these strikes in particular, but against U.S. intervention in Iran. Of course, we're coming, you know, years off of, you know, the U.S. exit from Iraq and Afghanistan. I think there's a general fatigue among the American public on intervention.
Well, it's interesting to hear you say that about what's developing politically, because we did see last week, before Donald Trump made the decision at the weekend to go in against Iran, that there was a huge divide within his MAGA stronghold. Some will say it was led by Tucker Carlson, you know, saying that really America has no business starting foreign wars as they would see it. Are you saying that that divide now has settled somewhat?
Somewhat. I mean, what I'm saying is, on Capitol Hill, though, you know, you're not seeing Republican lawmakers, with the exception of Thomas Massie, come out against Donald Trump. They have mostly rallied around President Trump. Now, among Republicans outside of people who aren't lawmakers, maybe that's a little different. But we have seen, for the most part, Republicans very much rally around President Trump and the Republican establishment. And I would say, you know, with the Tucker Carlson, you know, with the America First movement, the MAGA movement, you know, and where Tucker Carlson was standing, we've seen actually a lot of those, you know, figures that would be considered, you know, isolationists, including Vice President J.D. Vance, for that matter, you know, come out, you know, in favor of these strikes and support the president. Mm-hmm. So, you know, maybe it has settled a little bit, but we're not seeing that with lawmakers.
Okay, well, there was a notable absence over the weekend of Trump's Director of National Intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard, from the Situation Room images that we saw around the time of the Iran strikes overnight on Saturday. Now, we know Donald Trump insisted on Friday that her previous comments over Iran's ability to build a nuclear bomb were wrong. Let's listen to what he had to say then.
What intelligence do you have that Iran is building a nuclear weapon? Your intelligence community has said they have no evidence that they are at this point.
Well, then my intelligence community is wrong. Who in the intelligence community said that?
Your director of national intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard.
She's wrong.
Is Tulsi Gabbard out of the fold?
I mean, it's a big question, and you're absolutely right. Those, you know, it was a very notable absence, not seeing her in those, you know, photos at the Situation Room, especially when you see figures like John Ratcliffe, the CIA director, very much present. You know, we'll see what happens in terms of that divide between President Trump and Tulsi Gabbard. But I think, you know, for a lot of Americans, it's, you know, hearkening back in many ways to 2003, back to the initial U.S. Invasion of Iraq, in terms of the intelligence community then and what was coming out of the intelligence community. I think there's a lot of questions as to why there's this divide in general. But we'll see what happens with Tulsi Gabbard. She's been, you know, pretty quiet over the weekend. We haven't heard as much, you know, on her front. But, you know, she's director of national intelligence. She holds a very big job. So we'll have to hear from her at some point, or someone from that department.
And Julia, the irony of the Secretary of State, Marco Rubio, calling on China to help stop Iran from closing the Strait of Hormuz, the trade route that's so important for everybody else in the world. I mean, given what has happened with tariffs and the trade war and the relationship between China and the United States, the fact that now he's reaching out for help, how is that likely to go down?
I mean, it's interesting because I think what the Secretary of State is saying is, you know, this is, you know, China is very much impacted by, this, the war, the conflict. And, you know, I don't know if he's trying to necessarily build a coalition with China, but it's incredibly ironic, I would say. I think, I think the bigger question, though, and you know, that made news, certainly Rubio's remarks made news yesterday here, but the bigger question, I think, is President Trump's recent remarks about regime change and how he's sort of going against what Vice President Vance said yesterday. You know, it was interesting. Rubio and Vance were both making the rounds in terms of U.S. media. And Vance essentially said, we're not interested in regime change. But then President Trump said, you know, yesterday, hours after Vance's remarks, that regime change was not necessarily off the table, saying that regime change is a politically incorrect term. So I think a lot is up in the air right now in terms of messaging from this administration.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the thing is with Donald Trump at this stage, people don't tend to lend his words on Truth Social as much weight as they would any other president speaking in a public forum. Is that fair to say?
I mean, I think in terms of Truth Social, I mean, this is how President Trump communicates. I mean, he's making news on Truth Social. This is where he announced that the United States, launched these attacks. I mean, this is where, you know, he's making news on Truth Social. This is very much what he did on Twitter. So, I mean, this is how he's communicating. So this is, you know, that's kind of what we're following.
But I suppose, you know, does he really mean he wants to change the regime in Iran? We simply don't know, do we?
We don't know. And that's the question. But, you know, him, I think it's certainly notable, those comments yesterday and him breaking or seemingly breaking with Vice President Vance. I mean, this is Donald Trump's communication style. He doesn't give his team necessarily a heads up. He, you know, says what he wants to.
Well, I mean, him saying that means that concerns then start to mount, I would imagine, Julie, amongst the public for the safety of American citizens and military personnel in the Middle East following these strikes, if that's the road he wants to go down.
Absolutely. And you're hearing that. I mean, even before I think he made those remarks, there were, you know, questions about the, American safety in the Middle East, the public in the Middle East, but also here in the United States. I mean, immediately following those strikes on Saturday evening, you had a lot of questions about what, you know, the national security threat would be to the United States, what, you know, a potential cyber attack would be, would look like from Iran on the United States, or, you know, you also have heard a lot about these so-called sleeper cells in the United States that could be, you know, terror cells that could be activated by Iran. You're hearing a lot of chatter about that. In fact, you know, you've seen governors across the country, the governor of California, the governor of New York, say they're actively monitoring this situation, that there are no active threats yet, but they are watching out for this. You even had here in Washington, D.C. yesterday, the Metro Transit Board, which is the, you know, public transportation system here in the District of Columbia, say that they are also actively monitoring threats. So, I mean, this isn't just for American public safety in the Middle East. I think you're seeing extended here as well.
Julia, thank you for your time this morning. Julia Manchester there from The Hill, based in Washington, D.C.